Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Minister Tamika Dela Cruz, and I thank you for tuning in with us this evening as we discuss, are you ready for the call, being prepared and not panicked. Later on in the show, we'll have a guest, later on in the show, we'll have a special guest, Jessica Blackson from Keller Williams Realty, and she will discuss probate and living trust. Coach D, are you in the studio?
I am in the studio. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Cheek to Cheek. Glad to be here.
Great. I have to thank God every Tuesday for the opportunity to even have this platform to help others as well as help myself. And as we always say, knowledge is power. So tonight is going to be about knowledge to help those, unfortunately, that will cross a path that I have crossed, you have crossed, dealing with the death of our loved one. When a loved one dies, you might face the overwhelming responsibility of closing out that person's life. There are many things to attend to, from providing a proper tribute to closing bank accounts to counseling a gym membership. And many of the tasks require attention to the detail. You have to be precise in, you know, what you're doing to close out things for your loved ones, adding stress to what is already a pretty emotional time. So to cope, cut yourself some slack. Don't try to handle everything yourself if you don't have to. That was one of the most important things I had to learn, because I thought I was a superhero and that I was able to do everything myself. But learning, trying to do it on my own, I didn't take care of everything like I should have. So the burden shouldn't be placed on just one individual, you know. And, you know, when people ask you what can they do to help, take advantage of it. Delegate it to those that you can trust. It would have to be people that's really trustworthy. And to do so, you need to have a full, clear picture of what needs to be done. Here's an order checklist to make the task a little bit easier. I'm sorry, because, you know, thinking about it, to talk about something like this, I just did this in November of 2017, so it's a lot of emotions that come back and, you know, fill my head like, oh, God, I remember when I got the call, what happened, and then I had to make plans and make decisions to do certain things. So it was coming to me as I was talking, and, wow, you need a lot of help. So I'm going to go through a little checklist. I did some research. Believe it or not, ARP, ARP has a lot of information to assist us with this. So that's I did my research with them. And so this is some of the things I'm going to associate it with myself because I experienced it. So these are things that we have to do immediately when our loved one passed. So arrange for organ donation. That sounds like, oh, my God, yikes, why are you asking? You know, why are we talking about this? It's important because sometimes my driver's license, I'm an organ donor. On my daughter's driver's license, she was an organ donor. But by the time I got to the hospital, you know, they told me what happened, and I got home and everything is sinking in, you know, they called me like a day, maybe some hours later or a day later, asking about the organs. And at that moment, I'm like, don't ask me about organs. I'm not giving anything. You know, I'm not taking anything out of my daughter. No, we're not doing this. But I brought that story up to say, you know, it's the last detail that you don't want to think about, but arrangements need to be made almost immediately at death so the organs can be harvested. Not certain about what the person wanted, and these are two sources to check from, the driver's license and an advanced health care directive, such as a living will or health care paperwork. If the answer is yes, the hospital where the person died will have a coordinator to guide you through the process. So if your loved one died outside of a hospital that includes in hospice or a nursing home, contact the hospital. There is someone on the staff that will help. Why are we talking about organ donors? I feel bad that I did not donate my daughter's organs because it do help. It helped a lot of us. I've said several times on the show, I'm on a grieving group, and I read stories all the time. One lady just said, I think it was her 2-year-old son had passed away. She donated his heart, you know, liver and kidney. She donated a lot of things, and she said she was happy, you know, that she got to see her child help save other kids' lives. So it's something to really, you know, pray about, talk with your family about, with your loved ones. So when this time comes, you won't be going crazy trying to figure it out. Number two. Contact immediate family. Of course, you want to update key family members, bringing them together in person, by phone. Sometimes people don't like text, but when you're so overwhelmed with when it takes place, sometimes a text message is the best way to get it to everyone. So because when you let your close family members know, this gives them everybody the opportunity to compliment one another, to share information about important decisions that must be made, you know, and some of those decisions need to be made immediately. So, Jesus, this is why this is not a scripted show. This show is from the heart. This show is from experience. This show is truly to help those that cross this path, you know, and we all think we won't be there. That's not going to happen to me, but it will and it can. So I get a little emotional talking about it, but you know, it's important. What you want to do with the deceased person's body, if the person made arrangements to donate his or her body to a medical school, the family must, our loved one wanted, and once again, an advance directive or a living will help aid in that if our loved one has already set this up. If the person hasn't made arrangements, the next of kin can donate the body, but the decision needs to be made as early as possible. So, and I know we're overwhelmed once we get that call that, you know, our loved one has passed on, or we're sitting right there when they pass on. Everybody thinks they're prepared when somebody, you know, say for instance, one dies from cancer or some type of illness. You think you're prepared, but when you hear the initial that this person has passed on, everything that you thought you were prepared for, to me, from my personal experience, goes out the door. Because you're like, oh my God, you know, my loved one is not here. You know, my mom died of cancer in 2016, and I knew what was going to happen, and I thought I was prepared. But when I did get the phone call that said that she had passed on, I was lost. Like, what do I do? What am I supposed to do? But in my mind, I had already went to the mortuary and set up things, but I was still lost at that moment. Are we at number four, Coach D?
We are at number...
Number four.
No. are we going on four?
Yes, we're at number four.
Okay.
I'm sorry. And for those tuning in, we went over arrangement for organ donation, contact immediate family, and follow what you would like to do with the deceased person's body if you have discussed this with your family and everything. Okay, number four, consider funeral preparations. If possible, bring together key family members for an early conversation. This is especially helpful if the deceased left no advance instructions or possibly made an unreasonable request. You know, things to consider, I don't want to say the deceased person. We're going to use the word loved one. What did the loved one want? What can you afford? What's realistic? What will help the family most? Because this is one I have to really get into, because I noticed when people pass on, you know, we, like my daughter, I want to do everything. I wanted everything in the world. But then there's a moment that you got to come to reality, because when we do our funerals and memorials, that's for the living. That's not for our loved ones that have already passed on. So, you know, sometimes some people have, you know, they have went broke and bankrupt, you know, trying to do elaborate things. And sometimes the simple is the best. And then it depends on the person who passed on. Sometimes when I was working on my daughter's funeral arrangements, when I wanted to do something that was super elaborate, I would hear her in the back of my head like, Mom, you're doing too much. That's too much. Because she was a very simple person. So I had to constantly, you know, remember make sure that we're doing the service for the person that passed on, not what we want. Did that make sense?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. So choose a funeral home. That's five. Most people want a funeral home to transport the body from the morgue to its facility. The deceased may have identified which home to use and even prepaid for funeral service. If there's been no conversation about arrangement, the choice would be up to the family. And I should have said this first before we started. Number one, if anyone that's listening tonight, if anyone do not have life insurance, today would be the day to stop and make, when you finish listening to this show, call, get insurance. It's so important. Most of the funeral homes have prepaid plans. You can go in and you can do your funeral however you want it to be. You can say what location you want it at. You can take that up with most of these funeral homes and churches. It is important that we have life insurance. And, you know, I think in the African-American community, I won't even say that. When we come to this, everybody has gotten so dependent on, let's do a GoFundMe. You know, we're out here doing car washes. We have people out here on the corners with jars collecting change because we're trying to funeralize, you know, our loved ones. I've been there. I did the same thing. But I think before my daughter's funeral, my son made sure that he called a life insurance place and made sure that I got life insurance. So if anyone have any questions, if they want to know what life insurance I have or interested in any life insurance, feel free to inbox us on the Cheek to Cheek page, send a message. I will make sure to help you as much as I can. Okay, I'm sorry. 6, notify close friends and extended family. Make a list of as many people as you can. Find contacts through email accounts. You know, and this was a little iffy because it said, you know, go through telephone books. We're in 2018. Most of our contacts is on our phone. And this is something I learned also with my daughter. To access my daughter's phone, I would have needed to know her email address and password. And for a lot of parents, we have adult children. In our minds, why would we have their password to their email account? Why would we have their password to their social media account? Because we figure, you know, they're adults. It is so important to have, if you don't do nothing else today, one of the things is get life insurance. Number 2, get a piece of paper. Ask your kids, hey, what's your, ask all our loved ones, not just our kids, loved ones, moms, aunts, uncles, what's your email address? What's your password? What social media that you have? If you just write this down and put it in the safe, so when you are faced with this time, you will already be able to, you know, access everything. And because people run rapid when somebody passes, and you can't control a lot of things because, you know, like my daughter. My daughter has a Facebook page. She has an Instagram page, I think, Snapchat. I didn't have the password. You know, and for some parents or some family members, you may want to shut down the page. Some people may want to keep the social media going. So, you know, those are things that we should really have. I guess that would be number 6, being ready to contact employers if they belong to any organizations. If your loved one has minor children, you know, making it a point to call the, you know, whatever schools they're in, whatever doctor's office. It's really hard that I still get mail, you know, from my granddaughter addressed to my daughter. I still get a lot of mail for her, and it's just heartbreaking. You know, the mail comes, but she can't open it. You know, it's really sad. But I haven't taken the time to. It's really hard to close everything, but it's something very important. Secure property. If your loved one has an apartment or a house, you know, make sure that you have locked up their homes and their vehicles. If their car is parked in a secure place in a legal area, will the home be vacant? If so, we may want to notify the police to let them know, hey, this person has passed away. If you notice some activity going on in that house, there's no one there. They shouldn't be there. Or, you know, the property management. Have someone, if they have pets, care for the pets, you know, to see what we have to do as far as that. The morning I found out my daughter passed away, she parked her car at a Blue Line station. So, you know, when I first found out, I didn't know where her car was. I had to wait some hours, so I talked to her friends, and they were like, okay, it's at the Blue Line station. We had to make arrangements to go get the car. And she had a 2-year-old, so I didn't want her little girl to see the car yet. So, you know, we had to park it somewhere safe. You know, it's a lot of things that you – and this is all before the funeral. Notify the post office. Yeah, these are things that's probably – the things that I'm talking about, all of these things should probably take place within the first day or two. You know, notify the post office. Use the forward mail option. This will prevent accumulating mail from attracting attention for, you know, home for residents. It can also inform you about subscribers, creditors, and other accounts that need to be canceled. That mail that comes and will be very valuable in tracking down what you may not have thought of. It can be a treasure trove of it can just give you the information. I didn't know my daughter had a credit union. I think I got that mail maybe a month later. I'm like, oh, okay, I got to go here. Even going to the bank with the base, you can notify them that the person has passed away. Sometimes they can put a hold on the account, but it is important that we bring the death certificate when they release the death certificate. My daughter had Bank of America. I let them know within the week when it happened. They kind of monitor the account, and then when I brought in the death certificate, they closed out the account. And I said these things was to do before the funeral. So these are more things. Meet with the director, have them in the funeral or memorial arrangement. Use instructions your loved one might have left and the earlier family discussion to guide the many decisions to be made. Will the body be embalmed or cremated? You know, do you want the body present at the church? Do you just want a picture? Will there be a casket? If so, will it be open or closed? If the body will be cremated, will the ashes be scattered? If the ashes are deposited in an urn, will it be placed in a mausoleum, or will you keep it at home? Will you get charm urns, you know, that everybody can have a piece? It's so many things. Where is the burial site? Do religious traditions need to be respected? Will there be contributions to charities in lieu of flowers? You know, what color flowers do you want? It's so many things. Am I talking too fast, Coach D?
No. Actually, you're bringing up some good points, and I was going to go back on a couple of them, just some things that came to mind. I believe it was on number, I think it was 7. You had spoke about knowing, you know, family members' passwords and stuff. And we know in all confidentiality, especially for parents and their adult children, they're not going to give you their password. That's the reality.
I mean, well, it's something to talk about. It's something to talk about, to say, you know, with my daughter dying, I know that there was a lot of people affected, a lot of close friends. So when I say that, I'm saying that to say with her friends that have experiences, you know, this might make them think like, you know what, let me make sure my mom know at least a hint to change the password. Because, you know, sometimes you change the password and they want to know the hint.
Yeah.
There's something that to give us some kind of clues into how to know a password. I was clueless.
Well, another thing that I was going to suggest is because, you know, me and my family, like myself and my parents, I have like I keep a spreadsheet, Excel sheet, where I keep like all of my accounts, whether it's bills, bank accounts, credit card accounts, subscriptions, you know, all that I keep, and I have that, and I have like the website, the username and password, and what I've done is I print that, a hard copy of that out, and put it in the envelope. And I signed the envelope and then taped. I signed the envelope right where the envelope seals, and I tape it. And I do that because you know when the seal's been broken. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
And I just let like my brother knows, and I'm, you know, my sister, they know that I have an envelope. And should something happen to me, they know where that envelope is in my house. You know?
Amen.
And they'll know where that envelope is, so that if something happened to me, they could get that envelope, and they would, because, you know, people don't understand, and you understand when something like that happened. But if you have, if you know, if your loved one had bank accounts, matter of fact, my grandmother, I handled all of the stuff for her, and I handled all of her affairs while she was living, elderly, paying her bills and stuff, but we still have accounts. We still have a Bank of America account that the people want to send us. It's only $15 in there because we were able to get the money out to pay for different things. But to close the account, they wanted an arm, a leg, and 3 toes. And so I just told them, you're not going to stress my mom out, and you're not going to stress me out, so I'm just going to leave the account open. But I'm saying that to say this, is that when we don't have our affairs in order, because most people don't want to talk about death, we all are going to expire. We all are going to expire. And it's nothing worse than a family already grieving the pain of the loss. And then you have to grieve the pain of the loss, and then you have to grieve other stuff. Like you said, what did you want? Now I got to figure out how to do your funeral. Did you have life insurance? Did you not have life insurance? Did you have prepaid, you know, like plans in place? What do you want done with your children? If something happened to you, where will you want your child? All these things.
I think that's number one.
You know, that's what living wills and testaments are for. That's why it's so important. And unfortunately, in Black communities, that's not something that's on the norm for generation from generation to generation. Like, our grandparents didn't really teach us that, and maybe our parents didn't. You know, and it just kind of goes from generation. But those are things that you need to know. What's your last will? What do you want to happen? At the end of the day, what do you want to happen? And then it takes so much pressure off of your loved ones who's left behind to pick up the pieces and try to navigate through the pain of you not being here, and now got to try to figure out what did you want, and now you got conflict. You know what I'm saying? You got conflict. This family said, no, she would have wanted this, or no, she didn't want this, and now the child
That's why in the beginning I said when you delegate, you would have to delegate with those that you are. When we come to death, we already know the people that we can truly trust. It's not a doubt in our mind, because whoever you felt you couldn't trust before they died, you already know. So those are the people that you sit down with. It took for my daughter. We was going to put her in a crypt, and me talking to her best friend, we were just having a conversation, and she said, "I remember when Dayami said she wanted to be cremated." I'm like, "What?" And when she I've always talked about cremation. I want to be cremated. When she said that, it changed the whole arrangement. It was like, okay. We're not doing that. She's going to be cremated. So, you know, these are things you're afraid to talk about death. And you said it right. We are going to expire. And these are things that we need to know. Before I go any further, I have Jessica Blackson. She's from Keller Williams Realty, and she was going to discuss probate and a living trust.
Okay.
We have Jessica Blackson in the studio.
Let me check really quick for you, Minister Tamika. We do have her, and I will bring her live. She is now, hold on, she is live in the studio.
Hello,
Jessica
Blackson. Hello.
You in the studio?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
See, I must say this. Jessica has experienced being with me on losing my mom and my daughter. Me running her and screaming, and I must say, she know how to keep her composure, keep everything calm so everything gets in place. I was talking to Jessica about this show tonight, and I said, hey, can you talk about the probate and living trust for those who own homes? Because that's the first thing that families is fighting over. No, I want the house. They get in the house. She didn't leave the house for this. She didn't sign this. So, Jessica Blackson, tell us about you, and make sure you tell us about your office that you work out of.
Yes, ma'am. So I will make sure that before I, you know, get off, you know, get out the studio, that I will, you know, give some information about myself and tell you where I work and all that stuff. But I definitely want to, you know, let your listeners know what they can do so that, you know, everyone's not running around crazy before they pass, and what steps they'll have to take, you know, if something happens to a person after they pass, and what happens to their property after they pass. So what I'll talk about first is a living trust. And basically a living trust is the first thing that you need to do in your real estate planning. So if you have any type of property, any type of estate, any type of anything, a car, whatever, you want to make sure that you have all these things listed out in a living trust. And this is basically the basics of real estate planning. So the first thing you want to do is definitely get an attorney. While I am a realtor, I'm not an attorney. Anything I say in reference to a living trust and probate is merely suggestion. Please get an attorney, because these papers and these documents are very, very critical for you to for your people, your family, not to be fighting over, like you said, the property after you pass. So a living trust is basically a critical component in setting up your living estate. So in basic terms, a living trust is just you putting your affairs or your property in the control of a specific person, and that person is technically called a trustee. So this person is going to hold title to your property on behalf of whoever you set as your beneficiary. So say, for instance, I owned a property, and I say, you know, Tamika, I want you to be the trustee over my property. Janae, which is my sister, she's going to be the beneficiary of the property. So that means that I would change the title on the deed of my home. It will say Jessica R. Blackston trust account, and then it would have Tamika listed as the trustee, and then Janae listed as the beneficiary. Like that. So a living trust can basically be set up for as little as $1,000 to $1,500 if you are an individual. Now, again, this is an estimate. It depends on your situation. It depends on what kind of documents you have. If you have multiple properties, that can all make the cost of it range in either way. So these are again, estimates. And if you're a married couple, it can range anywhere from $1,200 to $2,500. Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry. So with the living trust, you said that they need to get an attorney. There's no self-help for any of this? Because I think maybe, you know, when they hear $1,000 for people who are.
Yeah. So if you want to go through, like, I think LegalZoom, they have things on there that you can do, and there's some other things that you can go on, and you can try to find your way through the living trust documents. But living trust, you want to make sure that all the things are squared away, because the next topic that I'm going to discuss, if it's not set in the trust, then the inevitable will happen, which is probate. And probate is basically the legal process that, you know, the estate and the affairs basically go to court, and then you have to have someone like an administrator be over the estate, and which the court sets up. The court has set a person over the estate that has no it doesn't matter whether or not whoever gets the property, basically somebody that's a neutral party. Once it goes into probate, but I'll go back to the living trust for really quick. Let me go back to the living trust. So one thing that most people won't tell you about a living trust is you have to have an account set up, a bank account set up in the name of the living trust. So say, for instance, the person that the living trust is in, like say, for instance, something happens and the person's name that's on the living trust passes, that person passes, and the beneficiary wants to sell the property. They can sell the property, but the proceeds will only go to the person. They will only go to the person's in the person's name that the trustee account is set up for. So, say for instance, it was Jessica Blackston's trustee account, and I'm no longer here. Then the trustee account, the check is going to be made out to that name. So the person, whoever is the beneficiary account and the trustor, the trustee, has to make sure that there's an account set up with the beneficiary being named as the executor of the account, as well as the trustee's name on there also. So, and a lot of times people won't tell you that, and I've seen a lot of people who have gone through trustee sales basically, and they're running on the last day trying to get an account opened up because the money's being, you know, sent out or wired out, and the money has nowhere to go because the account's not set up, and they're only going to issue that payment out to the person who is over the trustee account.
Wow.
Yeah.
Go
ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, so for those, if they had questions and wanted to know more about this, is there, would you be able to forward this information to me so I would be able to put it on the Facebook page so they would be able to, you know, it's a lot to take in at one time, so they would be able to.
Right, so sure.
Okay.
That is no problem. That's no problem. And I'll tell you this, there's sometimes that you may not need a trust over your estate. So in those situations that you may not need a trust account is if you're married and you don't have any children and it's explicitly expressed that your spouse is going to be the beneficiary. And then another instance where you might not necessarily need a trust when your estate is less than $150,000. Now, that's in the state of California. If you live in another state, every state varies on what their estate properties are. But in the state of California, if you have an estate that's only worth $150,000 or less, it's not necessary that you have a trust account, and it won't necessarily go to probate.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, we have heard an earful. So this is the point of discussing, are we prepared for the call or are we panicked? You don't want to be panicked when this happens. And, I mean, it's easier said than done. I've been in a position where I had to really stop. I call it my fire drill. Stop, pray, and focus so you can move forward. Jessica, we thank you so much. Please tell us about where you work. So if those want to know, they can call in.
Yes, I am a realtor with Keller Williams Inglewood in the city of Inglewood. If you want any more property information, if you want to know what your property is worth, I can do a CMA for you. If you have any other questions about buying, selling, or investing in real estate, I can help you with that as well. I help people who are in foreclosure, possibly going into foreclosure and anything like that. So I can hear the service and be of help.
Thank you so much. I will definitely post your card on the Cheek to Cheek page. I thank you again. And if you can forward me that information so I can also put that on the Cheek to Cheek page if everybody couldn't keep up with all the information. Thank you, Jessica.
Now, I know I'll probably be talking really fast, but, you know, it's a lot of information about that was just a living trust. I didn't get to go into the probate or whatever like that, but I'll say that for another time.
You're more than welcome to go into the probate. I'm sorry. I thought you were finished.
Oh, no. It's perfectly okay. It was just basically the steps that happen when you go into probate. But we're hoping that people will take initiative and will set up a living trust. I mean, start researching it. Just start researching what a living trust is, how you can get started and everything like that. If you do that, probate will not you won't have to go into probate, you know? So if you own any type of property, start looking into getting a living trust for sure.
This is Coach D. I just wanted to say this. I think if you have the time, Jessica, if you could share briefly probate, because see, a lot of times we, you know, you're in the industry, so you know the terminology, and believe it or not, we would not realize how many people hear certain words or terminology, and they really don't know what it means. They've heard it, but they don't know. And if people understood what probate is and the headache and everything that comes along with it and the cost that come along with it, I think people would be more encouraged and inspired to make sure that they handle their business so that they don't have to go into probate.
Okay, so I'm going to suggest a book also, Tamika, I was about to call you TP, but Tamika, that you can also post on your Cheek to Cheek page. It's called When Someone Dies in California, and I'll get that to you so that you can post that on there so people will also know what to do. It's a resource so people can have, you know, information on what they need to know and what the step they need to do to avoid just all types of crazy shenanigans and red tape involving real estate, money, insurance, and all that stuff. But there's seven steps of the California basically probate process. So basically probate is when someone dies, the money and property which makes up their estate will be distributed to their heirs. Usually for those who have assets, their property is distributed through an estate and must go through the probate process. So this is basically the process that if you didn't set up your living trust, is going to be set through a probate process. So first things first, you have to, before anything can go underway, someone's going to have to go down to the court and basically file a petition. And so the court is going to appoint someone to oversee the process. Now, if there was a will and testament that was filed or that was set up before the person passes, typically the will kind of designates a person who will take care of that duty. If there was no will and testament, then the court will do that. And then a personal representative would be somebody that's like basically what I was saying, impartial, or doesn't, you know, have basically, for lack of a better phrase, doesn't have a bone in the fight to whether the property goes to A or B, basically. And so this person, they'll take possession of the property and distribute the property accordingly. So the first of the seven steps is you got to file a petition. So you file a petition with the State of California Superior Court in the county where the deceased person resided. So if they were in L.A. County, Riverside County, up north, wherever they were, you have to file a petition in the California court. And so this petition can trigger a court to have them schedule a hearing in the next 30 days, okay? And then your second step is then you have to the handling of notices. So once a petition is filed, the court will then send out a hearing notice a minimum of three times. They'll publish it in the newspaper, and they'll also mail a notice to everyone that's named in the will if there is one. If there's not a will of the person that passed away, then there'll be a letter will be notified, or a letter will be sent out to the people who are potentially like beneficiaries, basically. And then the next step, which is step three, you have to prove the will. So if there is a will and testament, It have to be proven unless that, you know, someone's qualifying as a self-proving will. Like in some cases, people have specific language, like an affidavit or whatever, and they'll have a will that's already signed, and it's not necessary that you prove the will. And that's basically step three. And then asset collection is step four. So one of the primary duties of the personal representative or the administrator of the account is to take possession of all the deceased assets, but only the assets that are subject to the probate. So clothes, DVDs, and all that other stuff, and, you know, whatever else, that stuff is not, you know, necessary, required to go through probate. So if the title of an asset needs to be transferred to someone else's name, the personal representative is the person that will take care of that. So if they have, like, stocks, bonds, bank accounts with credit unions or brokerage accounts, any physical assets such as, like, a boat, a plane, a yacht, whatever they have, that kind of stuff will be the administrator will take possession of all that stuff. And then step five is payments to creditors. So once the personal representative has provided notice to all the people that could potentially be a beneficiary or what they call a creditor of the deceased's assets, then all the debts that were payable for that estate must submit a claim. So if they had credit cards, if they had a car note, if they had mortgage, all that stuff, all debts must be paid before any other distributions can be made. And then in California, all beneficiaries must submit their claims within 4 months of the appointment of the personal representative. And then step six, you have estate tax payments. So the personal representative is also the person responsible for making sure that all the taxes are paid, any federal taxes, any state taxes, or any taxes that, you know, California basically has. In most cases, a personal representative won't be held liable for the taxes of the state, but it can be distributed before the taxes are paid. And then in the last one, number seven, is the conclusion of the estate. And this is the final step in the probate process. The final step is basically providing an accounting for all the actions that were taken place through the process of the probate. So a petition, which summarizes the estate and reports everything that was being done through the whole process of the probate. And then the petition also includes all the fees that are paid. So every county has its own fees. I'm not sure what the fees are off the top of my head, but every county has their own fees or whatever that cost for probate. So do what you have to do first. So if you have a property or any type of, you know, anything regarding real estate, I would suggest that you sit down and get with a person who is an attorney, so that you can start up your living trust. So start up your living trust so that, you know, your friends and your family and all that stuff, they're not fighting over, you know, your estate, basically.
Amen. Can you repeat number four? I think I missed number four.
Sure. It's asset collection.
Okay. Asset collection.
So
okay.
That's the primary duty of the administrator or what they call the personal representative. So they're supposed to take possession of all of the deceased assets, but only the assets that are subject to the probate. So if it's a car, if it's a yacht, if it's a boat, if it's a piece of property, if it's income property, anything like that. So if there's any types of estate planning instruments that are not required to go through probate, then that wouldn't be affected. So, like, if title of an asset needs to be transferred to someone else's name, the administrator would basically take care of that. So if you had, like, stocks, if you have any type of bonds, if you had mutual funds, if you had brokerage accounts, if you had a bank account or a credit union account, if you had wealth planning accounts set up with someone, then the administrator would be the person that would take those things and then transfer them over to either a child's name or a named beneficiary or a close next in kin. I know it's a lot of information.
Minister Tamika?
Hello?
Okay, I'm still here. I think Minister Tamika had a technical difficulty, so I'm going to just continue to talk until she could get Minister Tamika. Are you back online?
Yes. Yes, I'm here.
Okay, I think you dropped, so we got you back.
I did.
Sorry about
here,
that.
But it was some great information. So when we're faced with death, you know, we can be prepared instead of panicked.
Yes.
And all the steps that you gave me, I plan on uploading them on to the Facebook page. And also you can listen to this show after the show is over. So then you'll be able to hear the necessary things that she left. And I'll definitely post her card. So if you have any information, I don't know if you have any attorneys that your office deal with that may be able to assist someone if they're looking for an attorney.
We do. We have attorneys
okay.
that we suggest. Now, these attorneys are only suggestions. We can only make
okay.
a suggestion. We can't ask. We can't tell you to use this person, but we do have relationships with attorneys that we can suggest. Yes.
Okay. So I would definitely put that up. And Jessica, I thank you again so much for calling in. And
thank you so much for having
me. You're a great friend.
thank you.
So
thank you for being
that.
A friend. Thank you
All
so
right,
much.
You have a good evening. All righty.
Good evening. Bye-bye.
Wow, Coach D, we have learned so much tonight. I think I got a lot of work to do.
Yeah. We have.
I want to go through these.
I was going to say, this might be a good time just to see if anyone that's listening in the studio tonight, if they have any questions or comments about the information that's been presented, because it was a wealth of information. I started trying to take notes, and then I think I just got overwhelmed or something. And I said, okay, I'm going to have to go back.
I got the notes.
So if there are anyone in the studio listening and you have a question or a comment about the information that has been given on tonight, please dial 1 on your dial pad. That will let our team know that you have a question or a comment about tonight's show. Again, you could dial 1 on your dial pad, and that will let our team know that you have a question or comment regarding tonight's show. Again, Minister Tamika, bravo. You did give a lot of information, good information, and we know that people are going to panic initially. But after the initial shock, if people, like you said, had a checklist that they could go through. A lot of people don't even
yeah.
know once something happens what to do. You know, if they never experienced it before, they just don't know what to do. So I think that's a good information so that people can be organized.
Yeah, I went through so many of them, and I didn't forget. I was going to get to after she gave her part. You know, the important things after we have done all the things that we talked about earlier, notifying the post office, friends, you know, locking up property, and all that good, notifying a mortuary, you know, you have to start working on the information for the obituary, you know, pictures. And, you know, sometimes people get overwhelmed because they want to put the whole person's life on a piece of paper, and it's impossible. But it's important to focus on, you know, writing their life story. Arranging for a headstone if you're using that. If you're going to use an urn, if the person is cremated, you know, there are things to do after the service that's just as important. With the death certificate, you need at least about 7 to 8 copies depending on, I almost want to say depending on their age, because sometimes with the age, you know, different things, but you need a lot of death certificates to send to financial institutions, you know, credit cards, jobs, Social Security. Make sure that you notify Social Security in the event that someone passed. You know, that's important so no one can assume their identity. Make sure you make your phone calls to the life insurance, stop health insurance, you know, car insurance if that's the case. Meet with a probate attorney like she talked about. That's important. But hopefully we don't have to meet with a probate attorney, because hopefully with all the information that we gave tonight, we will already have been be prepared. So, you know, make sure you close out credit cards, notify the credit reporting agencies, cancel driver's license, cancel email and website, membership to organizations. Let the tax preparer know. You know, because I got something in the mail for my daughter from the IRS, and I'm like, wow, you know, she's not here. And it's so hard to do that stuff. The thank you note. I have yet to do that because for me it's like I'm closing the chapter, and I guess I haven't gotten there yet. But there's so many things to be, you know, responsible for. If you're if it's a child and your child had children, you know, these are the questions that we need to ask. Where even I have a 13-year-old. If something happens to me, yes, he has a father, but if what I want to leave something saying, I want him to be with his brother. These are conversations that we need to have in our family. So while we're discussing social media, there is nothing wrong with taking the time to say, hey, let's have a family meeting and discuss. Let's discuss death. Let's be prepared for death. Because it's,
right.
You know, it's horrible when we're not, when you get that phone call and you're like stuck. Like, oh my God, you know, you feel like the wind is knocked out of you. But, you know, once again, my three things, stop, get your composure together, stop, pray, ask God to give you direction, ask God to give you the strength, ask God to give you what you stand in need of for this, and focus on taking care of everything that has to be taken care of with the death of our loved one. You know,
yeah.
It's important. It's important to know. Do your loved one? Do they want to be in a church? Do they want their service in a mortuary? Do they want it at a beach? You know, we're in 2018 where everything is just it's not traditional anymore. So these are very important. You know, if they have a special person in their life that maybe you don't know. You know, we need to communicate more in our community so that we can better help one another to be prepared for tragedies that come our way.
Yes. Amen. Well, I think that there's I think that you can't do enough of these type of shows because there's so much information and things to consider, and you just kind of went over a summary of a lot of things, but I think that these shows are always good because they're, you know, it'd be good as just a reminder of the things that need to be done, because I guarantee you when you're going through, you're not thinking initially, you know, and then sometimes you're so shocked and you're so overwhelmed with everything you have to do, you're doing all of that, you've never even gotten a chance to grieve, so a lot of family members are just numb because they had to do the work and didn't have a chance to grieve, and then a year later, you know, a year or two later, all of a sudden they break down, and everybody's wondering, well, what's wrong with you? You know, that was a year ago, this. Well, I never got a chance to grieve. So I think this, like I said, shows like this are important, and hopefully as you continue cheek to cheek and you continue to do shows like this to help people cope with the loss and learn the things that need to be done, it will constantly push people to have the conversations with your family, have the conversation with your adult children, you know, have the conversations with your, you know, of course, spouses normally do have that conversation, but a lot of people are single, you know. I'm a single mom. I need to have the conversation. I'm having it with, you know, with my teenager. I'm having it with my siblings because I'm trying to make it easy. I don't want them to just be lost trying to figure
Amen.
It out. You know, and wasting time, you know. You could waste days just trying to get information that if you don't have certain information to provide to the funeral home or to the mortuary, it could delay.
And then we have to remember, for those of us that's in church, you know, a lot of churches, if you're not a member of the church, they charge you. So these are things that we really need to know. You know, it's a lot of churches. We had a church home, but my daughter, you know, she was young, so I knew it was going to be a lot of people, so I needed a big church. A lot of the big churches I called, you know, 1,500, 1,000, you know, they were very expensive. So, you know, there's a lot of things that come into play with death, where it faces us to have to be with mortuaries. And sometimes when we have services at mortuaries, it's limited because they're not, you know, they're not big. You know, you have to think about the clothes if you want to bury a person and you're letting them be. It's an open casket. You have to. I had to learn this. You have to go buy for a woman. You have to buy, you know, whatever outfit they're wearing. You have to buy a bra. You have to buy underwear. You know, these are things that you're not thinking about when you're. And then, you know, they ask you the questions. What color would you like the fingernails? What color lipstick? You know, if you have to do their hair. You know, I didn't know that we can have our own people come in and do her hair. Just so happened she had. She was that independent because she had already did her braids, so she was able to, you know, we were able to still use the braids. You know, there's mm-hmm. a lot of things that come with death that you think that you're ready for, but you're not, because the life after death is just as traumatizing, you know, as when a person, you know, when you find out the person has passed on, because you still, you're still being, you know, you're still getting thrown out of your seat, but still having to, you know, call places and walk in a bank and say, you know, my daughter died and blah blah blah, and then, you know, people don't know how to react to us. What happened? And then you're like, you know, in your mind, like, take care of my business, don't ask me this. You know, these are things that we really have to be prepared for, you know, to, and then be able to still be in your mental state to cope. So, you know, that brings me back to prayer. Prayer is important, because I think without God, without me being able to pray and communicate, I probably would not be sitting here able to do this show every Tuesday. It takes a lot to, you know, have to, you know, talk about this. But it's important to help those that are out there that may not have anybody. You know, you may not have insurance to go to a grieving group. So I'm hoping that this show can reach a lot of people to help those that don't have the means to get, or maybe you don't feel like being in a room with a bunch of people telling their stories or why they're there. Maybe this setting works because we're in the comfort of, you know, their our listeners in the comfort of their home, able to listen.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, this was an exciting show again.
Another exciting, yes, great information. So, yes, great information, and I can't wait to see what information that you'll be providing in the weeks to come and the various guests that will be coming on to, you know, given their expertise in certain areas. I'm really looking forward to the show that you will have guests that's going to be talking about the difference between, like, talk about life insurance. What is life insurance? What's term?
Yeah.
What's whole life? Also going into the fact of, oh, you know, matter of fact, I didn't even think about it. One of our colleagues under MCD Network is a licensed insurance
There we go.
Agent.
Let's give that information
Minister
out.
Yeah, Minister LaDon could definitely speak to what's term insurance, what's whole life, you know, insurance that, and the difference between one is just covers a death benefit and it doesn't provide you with any type of benefit, where the other one covers a death benefit, but it also provides you with loan value and cash value, and also invest, you know, like tax deferred investment annuities. So that, you know, hey, you may need to just reach out to Minister LaDon and see if maybe you could get her in there next week as a guest to be able, because a lot of people don't know that. You know, some people say, I just can't afford insurance, I'm not going to get it. But, you know, term insurance sometimes will be fairly cheap. You know, you may be able to get a term insurance policy, you know, you may be able to get for $30 a month. But it provides your family with a death benefit, the face value. You know, you get a $50,000, $70,000, $30,000 policy, something happens, believe it, that really can, that beats GoFundMe and barbecue dinner. Amen?
So we will work
that
on
was,
that, because I did have an agent as well that I had wanted to bring on. So we'll definitely talk about that, and maybe we can think about that show next week and get some people to call in, and let's get some life insurance. And for those who do in-home support services, who work, who take care of someone, they offer life insurance at a fraction of a cost.
Oh, great.
So we'll talk about insurance next week, covering, making sure our loved ones are covered.
Amen. Well, thank you for a great show, Minister Tamika. I'm stepping back and letting you close out.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in tonight. Jessica Blackson with Keller Realty. We will definitely put her card on the Cheek to Cheek page. We'll get that the name of the lawyer that she said that they refer, so we can help our community. Once again, we thank you. May God continue to bless you. Remember to stop, pray, and focus. Have a good evening.